Anyway.
So in a year or in 2016 May, my neighbor's house blew up, and basically their wall went through my wall. I was out, for a long time, got injured, and I've been going to the VA for all my doctor treatment. So there's a lawsuit going on, and I'm kind of upset because my attorney doesn't give me any updates, for one thing. And I'm just kind of curious, because we have the settlement that we presented was one that was seemed very acceptable, especially if Ameren is the one that is at fault. But what is the reasonable amount of time to reach a settlement with that? And should I go and request a jury thing, or should I just wait it out?
Jake, how long ago did this happen?
It was May 11th, 2016, Carlinville, Illinois. You can Google it. It'll pop right up.
Well, first of all, it's not every day that somebody's house next door blows up. Okay, I almost think it's like the mob is after the guy or something. Was it like a gas leak or something?
No, it was gas. It was they were digging water lines on the street,
All right.
and
Here's the here's the here's the
they,
here's the
so there
bad
was
here's the
three
bad
different
news, Jake.
companies.
Jake, here's the bad news. The wheels of justice turn very slowly, and it hasn't even been that long. It's not unusual at all for a settlement to not be made until 2, 3, 4 years. Now, here's Scott to contradict that if he wants to, Scott.
I will not. I will add to that. Jake, it's a baby case. It might have homework. It might be in elementary school, but it's a baby case. Fortunately, you're still here. First, I apologize for not getting back to you sooner. And I'm glad you have representation. I'm not real thrilled that you're not getting the right communication from that group, but I can tell you how this works. It's in phases. Phase one, pre-suit. And just about every case, except for the rare and very clear, like wrongful death cases, where it's clearly somebody ran somebody over and they're dead, that the pre-suit process goes on. And one of the important and probably the most important factor in that is what is going on with Jake's health. They want to make sure, your lawyers or any good lawyer wants to make sure that Jake has reached a plateau in his treatment and his recovery where he's either A, as well as he can be, like he was before, or he's reached as good as he's going to be. And you don't want to get in front of that and go too fast because, let's say, you had some injury like a concussion or something and they don't really know what to do with it and they settle it too fast and, gee, it's worth 4 or 5 times that. So that's number one. But number two is that every good law firm has their finger on the statute of limitations for that particular case in that particular state. And for yours, you're not even at 1 year yet. And Illinois is 2 years on these negligence cases. So about the 1 year mark, I would think that
it'll be 2 years come this March.
I thought, 2016.
Oh, I'm sorry, May. I'm sorry, May.
Okay.
May,
well, then it has. Then it's getting to a point where they need to explain to you what have they done with what's called the demand, which is the what it sounds like that hey, pay us for Jake. What's going on with that, and how close to the statute of limitations are they going to run up against before they file it? Because they better not miss that, or they're in some trouble. Because that's an inexcusable deadline to miss. Missouri's is 5 years for most things, so the fact that it's an Illinois thing should speed up their diligence in getting either a settlement or filing suit. I think right now, other than not being communicated with on a regular basis, your case sounds like it's being handled fine. I would send them an email to whoever the lawyer that was excited about getting your case and say, I haven't heard from you for a while. What is going on with the case? Can you call me back or maybe we can set up an appointment? That is
frustrating part, though, is we've done that, and there's just not a lot. I mean, I luckily live in Carlinville where the courthouse is.
Yeah.
And I'll go to get my DD-214 or something, and I'll see him, and that's the only time I get to talk to him besides.
That's not great.
I dropped my paperwork, like my medical work from the VA.
off with
at his office as soon as my appointment's over, and he's got all the information.
Whether your case, Jake, was worth a dollar or a half a million dollars, lawyers have ethical duties to communicate with their clients that are codified by the rules in every state, including Illinois, Missouri, and whatever state you name. If you are not happy with the way in which your law firm is communicating with you, then you need to go to the boss. Now, if this is the head of the group, then I would make sure that you leave several messages.
No, he's a junior. He's a junior guy.
Yeah, I'd find the person whose name is on the beginning of that masthead, and I would call him or her, and I'd say, "Hi, my name is Jake. My house blew up. You may have heard of that. I'm one of your clients. I don't hear from so-and-so, and I don't like it. Bet you hear back from him by the end of the day. Why don't you do that tomorrow?"
Especially in a case like this, Jake, if you even sort of threaten to get another attorney, because I'm guessing they're doing this on a contingency because they know there's going to be some money here. And they don't want to lose that case, and maybe every once in a while, or at least if you haven't done it yet, let them know that if they're not willing to communicate with you and keep you in the loop, maybe you can find somebody who will, and they're not going to want another lawyer to get that third of whatever this amount is.
Right, and that's exactly right. And I'm going to say this. Look, I'm great at that, but I'm not perfect, and I have lost clients unintentionally for not responding as fast as A, they wanted, and even B, as much as I should have. So I want to say that it does happen, and people lose cases. Now, I'm no poacher. I don't want somebody else's case to tell that to blank talk them so that you'll come to me. What I want to do is fix this relationship between you and this law firm in this very serious matter, if it can be fixed. And my recommendation is talk to the person on the head of the masthead on the letterhead that pays all the bills, and let them know how displeased you are with the lack of communication by this junior lawyer of what is not only an important case, but the most important case that you have, and see what the attitude of that lady or gentleman is. And if it sucks, then you decide what you want to do next. But try to fix it, because
Jake, I'm guessing you've never
big deal.
Jake, you've never been involved in a lawsuit before, have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Here's the deal. It's real easy.
Very patient. So
yeah, but it's really easy and understandable. That in your mind, this should be wrapped up pretty soon. But here's the problem. It doesn't work that way. These things, let's say, for example, one attorney says to the other attorney, okay, here's some information we need. Well, they've got at least 30 days to get it to them. They'll make drag it out and take the whole 30 days. Now, after they give them that information, then the first attorney has another 30 days to let them know if that's exactly. I mean, everything's 30 days. Right. And the next thing you know, 2 years has gone by. But the worst thing, Scott's right, the worst thing you can do is rush it. And I'll tell you how I know that. When I was young, in my 20s, my wife got hit by a car. She was sitting still in traffic, and a commercial truck hit her in the back. And that's one of the reasons she has two metal cages in her spine and 12 screws right now. But we were young and stupid. We settled for $8,000. And she's had three surgeries since then over a period of 40 years. We jumped too soon. And we allowed ourselves to grab two-thirds of $8,000. What a huge mistake. And in hindsight, I wish we'd waited 4 years for the settlement to be made.
That's a great point.
Our only issue is, like, with our insurance, like, they only paid 25% of all of our household belongings, and I had to replace everything because they were used according to insurance. So, like, the savings account got wiped.
Jake, you'll get all that. You'll get all that back. It takes a little time.
Jake, you don't have a settlement problem. You have a communication problem, and it's the fault of the lawyer at that office. So it's just like, I don't know, your TV goes out during the World Series, and you don't know what the score is. The problem isn't whether or not you watching the game is going to affect the outcome of the game. It's you don't know what it is. And that's the problem at this stage of this law firm and this junior associate, as you describe. Get in touch with someone at the top of the masthead and see if you can get the communication fixed. If not, then you're a free agent. You can do whatever you like as long as you don't blow the statute. So get on them tomorrow morning, and I'll bet you by the end of the day, someone with some authority will fix this problem on behalf of that firm.
And just real quick, the last thing, what is the statute when, far as time-wise?
Well, I think on an Illinois negligence case, it's 2 years because nobody's dead. It's much shorter than Missouri, which is 5. So I'd be also tickling them a little bit about that. But they owe you an update. And you are the boss. All people listening, when you hire a lawyer, do not be intimidated by their letters at the end of their name. You're in charge. You can't tell them how to do everything. But if you don't like their bedside manner or whatever, you can get rid of them. The complications with that. But in this instance, Jake is right. They are wrong, and he should be properly communicated with.
Well, I want to thank you guys for the advice, and I will take it and I will use it. And I want to welcome Limey to the show because he's very entertaining.
Well, thanks a lot, Jake. I appreciate
it. That's nice.
That.
Thank you. Jake, good luck with this. Just be patient. I think your outcome is going to be good. I do.
Y'all have a great night.
All right, thank you, Jake. Real quickly, one thing you said, Scott, oh my goodness, is it true? There are attorneys and doctors who make you feel bad about trying to get their attention. Excuse me, I have a question. They have a way of making you feel like you're out of line. You're not out of line.
No.
You're the boss. You are the boss.
That's right.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had it happen to me. And I had to tell an attorney one time, I said, hey, I want you to change the way you talk to me. You're talking to me like I'm a child and like I don't know anything. I don't. I'm not a lawyer, but you work for me. And I flat out said that to him, and his whole demeanor changed.
That's right. My
doctors do it too.
She gets mad at me when I go to the doctor because I'm very, I guess I think it's respectful, but I almost take sort of a back seat to them, and whatever they say is right, even though if they prescribed an antibiotic I know it hasn't worked in the past, I don't speak up. I feel intimidated by that. So I want people who deal with lawyers to understand they are the same morons at 9 o'clock in the morning than they are at 5 o'clock when they leave, and most of them are morons. So be careful who you pick, and don't let them condescend you. That's not appropriate. It's not professional, and it's not the law.
All right. Scott. Scott, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Actually, Scott's gone.
Scott's gone, and yes. John is next. John, you say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. I don't have to tell everybody, but I will, that I'm AM and the PM. Scott, I'm trying to get some help from my parents. My mother needs a malpractice attorney, and I know that's not something that people really like to talk about. But
illegal or medical malpractice?
Medical.
Okay. Don't take the politics out of it. If somebody did something horrible to your parents, they must pay, regardless of their profession.
Oh, it was really very, very negligent what took place.
And the good thing about a medical malpractice case, not that there's anything good about it having happened, but this is a misconception that I want to jump out and make sure that I knock down. Medical malpractice cases cannot go forward. You can't even get them going without the opinion of somebody in that, not only profession, but in that specialty, that the standard of care wasn't met. And about 90% of the ones that people think are medical negligence cases by the really top firms, they don't go anywhere because they can't either get that opinion or it isn't medical negligence and it never sees the light of day. So we're going to take the politics out of it, and we're going to try and see what we can do to help you on the facts and merits of this case. So I hate to interrupt you, but I want to do that.
Oh, you're good. Thankfully, the new surgeon who my mom had to have a hip replacement revision, and there was an infection that had been there for 18 to 24 months that her previous surgeon ignored when she went to see him when she was having pain. and her new surgeon received the same training from the same place that her previous surgeon did, and how to spot these signs of this infection, and you know, not to let it go. And her new surgeon said, "I'm just at a loss as to why he didn't find this."
So, like, so, a staph infection or cellulitis or something like that?
It's really, really bad. It's she's going to be on antibiotics for 6 weeks, and then she's also going to be taking oral antibiotics for the rest of her life.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because it's not going to go away.
It's so, John, what's the question? What's the issue? Are you looking for an attorney?
Yeah, yes, I am. And so I'll just send Scott an email.
Is this an Illinois or a Missouri-based issue? Or a different state?
I don't want to say. Oh, no, I don't mind. Oh, okay. I believe it's going to be Kansas. They live in Kansas City.
Okay.
The surgery was done in Kansas.
Okay. We'll get you somebody.
So,
John, you have Scott's email address?
Yes, sir, I most certainly do.
Let's hear it.
It is lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Look at that.
He did it. Good luck, John.
John, thanks. Best to your mom, really. I'm glad she's here.
Medical malpractice is sometimes a real tough thing to prove. And you said it earlier. In most cases, you need the testimony of another doctor. So you got a doctor testifying. In a sense, he's ratting out another doctor. He's helping put a doctor away. And sometimes they don't want to do that. A doctor in St. Louis killed my father-in-law. That is a flat-out true statement. He killed my father-in-law. And we know he did it, and he knew he did it, and it all came down to insurance, and this medication wasn't covered, so they switched his medication, and I mean, the next thing you know, he's dead. And we had a rock-solid case. And the 11th hour, the doctor who was, his testimony was the one that was absolutely going to make this a slam dunk, and he refused to testify.
Mm.
And right up until that time, he was agreeable, and he dissected the whole thing. He said, absolutely, here's what happened. And somebody got to him, or he got cold feet, or something. And without his testimony, that was it. It was over. And I'll never forget the doctor's name, and I'm certainly not going to give it here, but he killed my father-in-law. And I love, like anything else, doctors, cops, lawyers, they're good ones, they're bad ones, but you need the cooperation of another reputable doctor for any of this to ever stick. Bill is here. Bill, say hi to Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Bill.
I'm going to repeat him. Hallelujah. Scott, my question is about the new tax code. I'm divorced. I pay what I consider a ridiculous amount of maintenance under the new tax law. What I understand is that she is not going to have to pay taxes on the money she receives. I'm going to have to start paying it. Can I take her back to court and get a reduction in my maintenance to make up for the taxes that I'm going to be losing?
I am so glad you didn't ask me a tax question. But you did ask something that is related to what's called substantial change of circumstance. Now, whatever state you live in, they have some term that is basically substantial change of circumstance. Yes, can you take your ex on the maintenance and get that adjusted if you can show a substantial change of circumstance? If you have to pay $10,000 more a year because of this tax change, that's a substantial change of circumstance. Is that something the court will rubber stamp? No. So now you have to make a business decision. How much are you willing to pay or really risk to get the maintenance changed so that it will be financially beneficial for you if the change is granted rather than not doing that? Now, do you have maintenance for a certain set period, or is it until she gets remarried or kicks it?
Until we die, because nobody's going to remarry her.
You should spend, I was going to say, you should hire someone. This is almost like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You should hire Michael Caine to marry this woman because she might be so horrible, you're still paying for that. But technically, yes, the substantial change of circumstance can be can modify that obligation. But you have to go back to court, and you know how domestic lawyers are, don't you?
Yep.
Bill, you know that, right?
Pretty bad, yeah.
Well, the good news is, if you send me an email, I'll send you to somebody you can kick the tires on, who I think has done a great job the last few years, and she is a straight shooter and not that expensive, and will give you your outcome likelihood, and also, if you're successful, your cost-benefit analysis on it. So I'm not skirting it. I'm glad you gave me a break on the tax thing, but I think that the additional financial burden on you would be a substantial change of circumstance argument to the court.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Bill, good luck. Bill's ex-wife sounded kind of like Dan's ex-wife, like the sister of Satan. When he said, nobody's going to marry her.
I think there's a lot of them that are related. And somehow.
All right, let's get Pat, and then we'll take a break. Numbers. You know what? I should give these numbers out again. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Pat, say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. Hey, Frank. Hey, I called last week and talked to you guys about my mom and situation with my sister, and we thought she was embezzling money, and you told us to get an elder care lawyer. I was in Albuquerque, and we did do that. We got that done, and the attorney is talking to her today, but the situation's not good. We got into the bank accounts and all that kind of stuff, and she's taking her for about $27,000, so.
Wow. But you're happy with the person you made contact with in Albuquerque?
Yes. The lawyer was real good, gave us a lot of information, you know. We had a consultation, we had to pay for that, but she was supposed to talk to her today to make sure mom was able to, you know, be okay with switching her power attorney and all that kind of stuff. But we did get a lot of accounts closed down, and we kind of threatened her, you know, as far as that goes. And the attorney says they can send a letter to her to you know, to quit.
Cease and desist letter?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so I really appreciate the info. It really helped us out, and we got a lot of stuff done, me and my brother and my sister, to kind of squash this whole thing. So, but this happened within a 3-year period, so.
Man. So you're just calling to thank Scott, or did you need something else from him?
Yeah, no, I was just thanking Scott. He did a real good job in giving us the information on what we need to do. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break, and it'll be a quick one. And while we do, there is a line open, obviously, because Pat just hung up the phone. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. About 2 years ago, I got an email from a guy named Derek Nagel. And in the email, he proceeded to tell me that he owned Gateway Lock and security cameras, and in just a couple of paragraphs made it very clear that he had a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth about radio because he had just spent a year on another talk station in town, and they didn't get one bit of business. So when that happens, you know, I have to go in and do my best to convince somebody that you can't judge all radio on just that bad experience. That station didn't happen to have anybody who knew how to sell and tell his story. And his story is simple. He has Gateway Lock and security cameras. They are in the security business. They're in the business of ultra high definition security cameras. And I will tell you that after 2 years, we have not sold as many camera systems as I would like for us to have sold, but we know why. And I'm trying my best to get you to understand that if you're going to be one of these people who think, and this is the biggest problem, is these people who go to, you know, I heard in the news where Sam's is closing some stores, Sam's, Costco, they sell these cameras in a box, and they tell you on the box how easy it is to put them in. It is just not the case. Unless you are really tech savvy, you're going to screw that up. And they're not inexpensive. So now you're out the money. You got cameras. They're not doing what you want them to do. What good are security cameras if when the time comes you need to go take a good look at who that was that broke into your warehouse or your home or your business and it's not there? It didn't capture it. If you're going to do it, it's like a lot of things. Do it right. I don't work on my own cars. I'm not going to try to put in on my own security cameras. If you want to do it right, then do it right. And these are the people that will do it. Gateway lock and security cameras. They're also in the keyless entry and the proximity card business. And that is a huge business. And thanks to all of you who have called them for proximity cards or keyless entry for certainly your business, but now even for homes, new homes and remodeled homes. We're going to be saying goodbye to the key very soon in the next couple of years. No keys for anything. No keys to start the car. No keys to get in the house. No keys to get in the business. It's all proximity card and keyless entries. And these people are really good at it. So unless you're one of these people who think, well, no one is ever going to do anything bad to my business, my home, my family. They're not going to try to break in. They're not going to steal anything. If you believe that, then you don't need what they have. Otherwise, Gateway Lock and Security Cameras. The website is easy. I hope you'll visit it. Take a look at what they do. It's a terrific family business. GatewayLockAndSecurity.com.
All right, we're going to get a check on traffic right now with Tori Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Account Temps. Traffic incident blocking eastbound 70 at Hanley. Stop and go southbound 270 Dorset through 44. You've got delays between the city and 270, westbound 64 and westbound 70. More slow going as you head into St. Charles County. Bumper to bumper eastbound 64, Compton to the Poplar Street Bridge. When you could use help closing your books and need additional staff, it's time to call Account Temps. They can provide you with bookkeepers and other accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis. Call today, Account Temps, a Robert Half company. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
The Fan's AFC-NFC Championship Party is Sunday, January 21st at Hot Shots in Fenton. Hang out with 590 personalities as the party starts at 1:30, 30 minutes before kickoff of the AFC game, and goes until halftime of the NFC Championship. For only $30, your ticket to the AFC-NFC Party includes a buffet, unlimited Bud Family pints, and raffle ticket. Food includes pizza, nachos, and T-Ravs, along with Bud, Bud Light, and Bud Select draft pints. Raffle prizes will be drawn throughout the day, including prizes such as flat screen TVs, Game of Thrones live tickets, Gold's Gym Year membership, two nights at Hollywood Casino with $50 food voucher, plus Blues tickets. Purchase your AFC-NFC party tickets on 590thefan.com or search Eventbrite for the 590 The Fan AFC-NFC party. Join us for the fun and games coming up on Championship Sunday, January 21st at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill in Fenton.
Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Bertarelli Cutlery. Now, I'm best known for two things, spitting red-hot sports takes and legendary culinary skills in the kitchen. I've been going to Bertarelli for all my kitchen tools for years. They have it all, knives, pots, pans, mixers, meat slicers, and all the gadgets and gizmos you could ever imagine. Bring in a set of knives with Bertarelli Cutlery's knife sharpening service, and in 30 minutes, your blades will be better than new. So shoot on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill or shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been in business in St. Louis for over 10 years. We use modern GPS technology to find people or to figure out what they're doing when you're not around. Call me, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
Right, we're back. We have Scott Sherman, attorney at law. You need some good legal advice. I would certainly take advantage of this opportunity. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Jim, Scott is all yours. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman, and good evening, guys. I'm AM in the PM.
Jim? Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
No, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Scott, I appreciate your service, and I have a quick question for you. I have a situation or business where I escrow money for people on transactions and then wire it to the seller on occasion. And I have encountered a problem. I have wired money to a particular bank, I won't name it, but on occasion they have refused the wire. In other words, they're saying, we're not going to accept it. And they send the money back, which is fine, except that they take a fee out of the money. So let's say I send them $100, they send me back $75. And I have no relationship with this bank. It's not my bank. It's the bank of the people I'm dealing with, so I've not agreed to have them take any money out of my wire. I just was going to ask you what you thought of that, and if you thought that that's something that I should try to have a basis to talk to somebody about recovering that money.
Is this the only bank that refuses your transfers?
Yes, sir. I deal with a number of banks, and this is the only one that takes a fee.
They take a fee for refusing your money.
Yeah, it's like you show up on Sunday and knock on the door of the bank, and they say, we're not open. Oh, before you leave, give us $5 for telling you that.
Have they told you why they won't take the money and everybody else will? Have they told you why?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They said the number was off or the spelling of the person's name wasn't entirely accurate. I mean, in my view, Mickey Mouse reasons. Now, maybe they're legitimate, but the point is they've refused it, which is fine. They have a right to do that. But what irks me and what I think I might have a situation to talk to a lawyer about is they help themselves to the money. They take a fee out of it and then send me back less than I sent over.
Sounds like you got a case, Jim, to me. Scott, yeah, it's all yours.
First, well briefed. That was well spelled out. I would say short of a banking regulation, you have some claim for that fee back. I don't see where they have a basis for charging that fee at all. As you said, you don't have a relationship with them. You've never signed a term of service agreement with them or a contract with them that says anything about fees or withholding money for their non-participation in your transaction. If you send me an email, I'm sort of Rolodexing a couple of people in my head, but send me an email if you can and see if I can find you somebody that does financial transactions, these sorts of banking transactions, because if it's happening to you, it's happening to a lot of people, and I don't want you to be the head of this class action dragon, but I think maybe you could start with somebody sending some letters to these folks telling them, hey, you got a problem here. So if you'll do me the courtesy, I'll do it back and send you a couple of names of people that probably do this a lot.
But I will certainly do that, and thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You have Scott's email address?
I can get it on the web. I can't recall off the top of my head, but it's scott@scottshermanlaw.com or something like that.
Or something like that. Give it to him, Scott.
lawofficeofscottsherman@gmail.com.
Very good. Now I have it. Thank you.
And Jim, much do they charge you to refuse that?
Yes, sir.
How much do they charge you?
They're charging me $45, and they've done it at least 20 times in the last 6 months. And,
20?
You know,
wow.
Jim, send it to Frank. He only charges 10.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's a great point. They just save $30. Good luck, Jim.
Thank you very much for the free call, guys.
You got it,
Matt. And it is free. Leland, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Oh, boy, I gotta go to that restaurant up there in Florissant, and I gotta get myself up there. I got a couple of buddies of mine, and I called them up just a few minutes ago. I said, we gotta go there and eat that pizza and the chicken wings and all that good stuff.
Peronis?
Peronis, oh, you won't be sorry.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Frank. Hi, Scott.
Leland,
hi,
buddy.
Charles, how you doing, everybody? But, you know, the thing is, today, which is really sad, when you advertise, you know, I used to work in that business of advertising, and I'm gonna tell you something. Oh, what can I guarantee you get? I'm going to tell you something. when you walk in a place and they say to you, oh my gosh, I've had so much great response. I didn't have to put anything in a magazine. I didn't have to put anything on a radio station. I didn't have to do anything. And you brought me those leads. I love them leads. I'm going to go out and sell them all tonight. And then I wait for my paycheck to come in. I loved it, man. It was fantastic. I don't have to jump off the boat now and, you know, jump, or whatever the expression is, you know, when you're not making any, progress with your money you're putting out. But my question is, Scott, something came up this last week from a buddy of mine in Kansas City, and he got a letter from a lawyer, which I'm not going to mention the lawyer's name. It's not important. And he has to go down to bankruptcy court.
Yep.
And we find out from the bankruptcy court that there is about 30 people on this list of this bankruptcy case. Now, I don't know. I told him, I said, you better be careful, because if you miss that and you know, you're supposed to be there, we have to check this out. But we need to get a good person to talk to that might know something about bankruptcy.
I got the perfect person. And it sounds right. Like a creditor claim notice.
No. I'm not in a position to say it, but
okay.
Because it's, you know, you're on here. But I will give you a call. We'll go.
Send me an email. I will instantly give you the name of the person in this town that I trust on bankruptcy issues. He'll know.
And I'm definitely gonna go to that Peroni's.
Peroni's.
Oh yeah.
You won't be.
Thanks, Frank.
You won't be
thanks,
sorry.
Greg.
Thank you, Leland.
Thank you, Leland.
And I do want to address the spam thing real quickly. I got an email, a couple of them, just this last week, and this does happen. If you email Scott and you don't hear back from Scott, and I'm going to say within 3 or 4 days tops, because he's really good at getting back. If you don't hear back, I can almost guarantee you your email went into his spam folder. If you'll email me, frankopinion@yahoo.com, and say I can't get Scott to respond, I will forward your email to him. I don't know why some of these things go to spam and others don't. I've never understood that. I've had things that have come to me. And people said, hey, man, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't heard from you. I never got it. And then I look in the spam folder, and there it is. So if you really need Scott's help and you don't hear back from him, for goodness sakes, get a hold of me. We'll get you two together.
And
Teresa.
And that
Teresa's,
works perfect, Frank, because I did talk to Steve yesterday, and we are straightening that issue out. So.
All right. Teresa, say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah.
Well, good. I have sort of an odd situation, I think. I was engaged, and my fiancé passed away. Mm-hmm. And it's been a year and a half ago. And his four children gave me his car, which was, you know, his pride and joy kind of thing. However, they were advised...
I know.
Go ahead. They were told by an attorney to not go through probate, but to wait a year and a day, and then they could go to court, file, I guess, the accurate paperwork, and then everything would be signed over to them, and then they could sign the car to me. However, I cannot get them to do anything, so I've been storing the car for now a year and a half. And, I mean, I can't get plates on it. I can't drive it. It just sits. I was thinking maybe, you know, is there a way that I could claim it as an abandoned vehicle and try and get it titled in my name?
Yeah, the problem with that is they could then come after you for doing that. This is a weird one. There's nothing in writing. There's no evidence that he wanted you to have the car, right?
No, there was no will. It was very unexpected, and
Do you get along with them? Do they like you or do they hate you? Do you get along with them?
Yes. No. We get along. We get along. Mm-hmm. It's I walk. Yeah, I tread lightly.
Yeah, I got news for you. They don't want you to have the car. Or they'd have taken care of this already. A year and a half is ridiculous. Scott, it's yours.
Teresa, I'm sorry about the loss
Thank
of your
you.
Fiance.
Thank you.
Who gave you the car? I mean, do you mean give? Do you mean here are the keys, Teresa? Who did that?
I have the keys. His oldest daughter.
So when
his oldest child.
I don't want the make, model, year, and VIN of this thing, but what's it worth? $10,000, $50,000. What kind of car is this?
It's an Infiniti convertible.
430, something like that. It's a lot of money.
Maybe, yeah.
And so was this his primary vehicle when he was alive?
No.
Okay. It was yours.
It wasn't.
Yours to use?
No, it was kind of his second vehicle, his play vehicle.
But on the title of the vehicle, was there a TOD, transferable on death? Okay, just a regular.
No.
Okay. And it was never, when you say given to you, they're letting you drive it. But they never signed the title over because he passed away and it became, I guess, part of his estate, right?
Right.
Okay. Here's what I would do, because the gift question comes into play. When you say they gave it to you, they don't have the legal authority to give it to you. He died. He could have given it to you. And then you could have gone about the business of getting it titled in your name. Or he could have TOD'd that thing to you, which he didn't do because he didn't think he was going to die. And then it would have just transferred to you. This car is not yours. I know it has sentimental value, talking about legally. And it is not titled or not titled properly. It's not licensed properly. The tabs are expired. The plates are expired. It's not your car. And what you're doing is storing the car for your almost stepkids. And what I would do is deliver it to them. Here you go. Put it on a, you got AAA, take it on a flatbed and take it to them and say, let me know when this gets all resolved, because it's not a gift. The person doesn't have the authority to give it to you because they don't own it. And if they want to give it to you, they will give it to you when they do. So instead of having it in your garage or trying to do whatever it is that you were saying earlier that I didn't follow but is wrong, give it to them. Either have them come pick it up and drive it with the expired plates, or have a hauler haul it to whoever you think is in charge and drop it off there. And then happens.
Is it even their car?
No.
Because he didn't leave it to them either.
He died without a will, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, now it has to go through intestacy, which is a statutory manner of distribution for people that die without wills. And if he doesn't have a wife, which you almost were but weren't, and then he has kids, it's going to be split. Whatever is in that, his estate is going to be split evenly amongst the lines of those people. And you're out. And it's sad, and it's terrible, and it's unfortunate. But he didn't prepare, because he probably didn't know this was going to happen, what his wishes were going to be. And
what a shame that this takes so long, though. This is
and
just
expensive.
Ridiculous.
And now, Teresa
I've been paying $200 a month since July of 2018
store
this.
Get it out.
Yeah, you know.
Got AAA? I mean, I don't promote insurance companies, but do you have that service of
yes, I do. Yes.
Call them on the phone and do it tonight or tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to bring the car over to you. And then have them bring the car to the address of the person who you think is in charge of this estate deal and leave it with them and make it their responsibility, because you know what's going to happen a year and a day or whatever this probate lawyer did or didn't say. You know what's going to happen? They're going to knock on your door and say, hey, Teresa, give me that car. And you're going to be $2,000 in on this deal.
Right.
And I know it's upsetting to make it so cut and dry, and it's not really about money, and it's not really about cars, and it's not really about law until it is. And it doesn't mean he didn't love you. It just means this wasn't properly taken care of. And it's sad, but you can get that car over to them, and if they want to give that to you, that's their business. But I bet they're not.
Teresa, can I ask how old he was and how he died?
He was 53, and a year ago July, he went for a walk and had a massive heart attack. I mean,
goodness.
Epitome of health, worked out every day, watched what he ate.
What a
very
story.
Surprised. Yeah.
Out of nowhere. But here's the lesson for everybody. I don't care if you're 40. Get a will. Things happen. People have heart attacks. People hit by trucks, struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Have a will.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people like Teresa here just left.
And we've talked about it, Frank, how many dozens of times. if you don't want to go to the expense of that, or you even think it's bad luck or something, do the easy stuff. TOD your cars and
yes.
other vehicles
yes.
and put on for survival with or joint tenant with right of survival on your real estate and POD your bank accounts. And that has nothing to do with probate. And then it gets done the way the person intended to do, like
right.
Teresa's fiance would have wanted for her to have her car. This really is your car, which you have no legal right or claim to, and will most likely, once it's delivered to these step-in kids, you'll never drive again.
Probably not.
But that's okay. Don't yeah, but, be a double victim.
Yeah, you stop the bleeding, too. There's $200 a month. That shouldn't be on you. You're done with that. Teresa, I'm really sorry when anybody drops
you
dead at 53 like that. That's horrible. And I hope you have a great life and good luck.
Well, good luck. Thank you very much. All right. Bye-bye.
My goodness. That kind of stuff. That's the stuff in life that you just, for the rest of your life, you'll never be able to explain why that happens. A guy's in perfect health, works out, fit, goes for a walk, drops dead of a heart attack.
Mm. I know.
But the lesson here to everybody, it's a few bucks. It's not that big a deal. Get a will or put stuff in two names so that somebody doesn't have to go through what she's going through. We're out of time. This was tremendous. I've learned so much from this segment. I look forward to every Thursday at 4 o'clock, and I think everybody should because you can learn some stuff here. Scott Sherman, thank you. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Frank, thank you. Thank you, guys.
And thanks to Peroni's. Peroni's Pizza makes it possible for Scott to be here every Thursday. Florissant and St. Peter's, all-you-can-eat lunch buffet every Monday through Friday, and that's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Fridays, which is tomorrow, it includes their famous chicken wings. Peroni's Pizza, peronispizza.com. I have one bit of business to do, and before you know it, it'll be 5 o'clock. We'll be in the Playhouse, and we'll have a terrific joke and a couple of stories for you. There are two Good Feet stores in the St. Louis area, and I hope that if you're in pain, not just any pain, I mean, if you have appendicitis or something, an insert in your shoe is not going to help that, or if you have a heart condition, but if you have pain, it could be in your feet, it could be in your knees, it could be in your calves, your hip, even headaches. They've even had people who've gone in and they can't seem to get rid of these headaches. And then they find out that an insert, an arch support, makes all the difference in the world. Now, not everybody who goes in with every condition or every kind of pain is going to find the relief in an arch support or an insert, but it is amazing how many people do and how many people would never have thought something as simple as a slight adjustment in the way that I walk and stand. And it's not dramatic. You're not going to fall down when you try to walk with these things in your shoes. You'll barely notice it, and it usually feels pretty good when they put them in there. But what you're looking for is relief from pain, and I hope you find it. But you're not going to know until you go into Good Feet, and you don't need an appointment to do that. You just walk in, and they're going to ask you where the pain is, and the rest is easy. Good Feet, there are two in our area, one on the east side, one on the west side, on Olive Boulevard, west of 270, catty-cornered across from TGI Fridays, and there's a Good Feet store in Shiloh, Illinois, on Greenmount Road across from Deerburg. It's goodfeetstlouis.com.
Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Bertarelli Cutlery. Now, I'm best known for two things, spitting red-hot sports steaks and legendary culinary skills in the kitchen. I've been going to Bertarelli for all my kitchen tools for years. They have it all, knives, pots, pans, mixers, meat slicers, and all the gadgets and gizmos you could ever imagine. Bring in a set of knives with Bertarelli Cutlery's knife sharpening service, and in 30 minutes, your blades will be better than new. So shoot on down to Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill or shop online at BertarelliCutlery.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Vinson Mortgage is more than just a mortgage company. We work hard to support our community by helping families find their dream home, consolidate their debt, or upgrade their existing homes. Find us on Facebook, download our app, or visit VinsonMortgage.com for great information on how to reach all your family's financial goals. Vinson Mortgage, 314-839-9999.
Come visit us at 12801 Flushing Meadows Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63131. NMLS number 225095.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, KPNT, HD2, Collinsville, and